justifying why God had called him, giving his defense. And he knew the story of Moses, didn't he? He knew all those details. You had Dave Hopwood here last week, and Dave's brilliant at bringing things to life. And it was great, because I was able to pick up on it on the internet. Thank you, Nick, for putting it on. And it was great how you heard how God revealed himself to Moses. And I believe you talked to each other a little bit last week as well. And we're asking each other, at Dave's encouragement, what reminded you most about God being with you and how you recognized him and how he is now with you on your side? How did you, what sort of thing provoked your mind to think about that? And Dave was able to say how God was bringing Moses to this turning point in his life. God hadn't given up on Moses, even though Moses had all these sort of objections. Please send somebody else, you saw in the video just now. But now had come the time for Moses to act. He was 80 years of age, of course, at this time. He looked pretty old in the video, but, you know, 80 years of age. I'm not quite there. Some of you are there, and we're all getting there. What about it if God suddenly said, when we're 80 years of age, this is the time for action. I'm calling you to lead my people out of this bondage. Well, it's all part of God's story and how he's working in Moses' life. Moses would become, from that point on, a very important part of God's story. So if you're 80 or heading towards 80, don't think it's now time to put your slippers on and get the cocoa out, that you're no longer part of God's story. Because for Moses, that's when it started. He'd had 40 years of learning. So when none of us are out of God's action or out of his sights. You know what his reaction was? You saw it there on the video. Not me, Lord. I'm just quite happy as I am. Find somebody else. Please send somebody else, he says. Well, God confirmed that he had no other choice but Moses, and Moses was sent back to Egypt where there was great need. So we look at the God who saves. In these chapters, and it's the Lord who sends his chosen one. Well, he goes back to Egypt and he finds a very distressed people. His own people, the Israelites, they couldn't rescue themselves. The situation was tough. But the Lord had seen their misery. We read in chapter 4, verse 29, the Lord saw their situation. They cried to him, and the Lord saw, and the Lord said to Moses, right, I'm going to send you. Moses, as you saw on the video, went to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, I will not let Israel go. No way. They're making bricks. They're useful to us. We're going to have them. Get back to your work, the Pharaoh said. And more to the point, he said, they are lazy. These are all the words that are there in chapter 5 of Exodus. I couldn't read it all, but I picked out the key words. And Pharaoh said, you will not be given any straw. You must produce your full quota of bricks. That was the situation. It was very distressing, wasn't it? It was tough. And yet, in that situation, God raised up a deliverer. He was going to use Moses. Actually, if we take this Exodus passage and put it into the present day context, things are not a lot different. because we are still amongst a distressed people. In fact, if you were to study the book of Romans, Paul says to the Romans that people are actually slaves to sin. That's how Paul describes people. Slaves, but not to make bricks, but slaves to sin. And Jesus, when he came, he said, I've come because my Father has sent me to proclaim freedom to prisoners, to set prisoners free, those who were slaves to sin. And even Paul, you know what you would have thought, the great apostle Paul, who planted lots of churches, you would have thought he would have said, yes, God is with me, I can do anything. But he says, actually, in Romans, he says, well, the very things he said, the things I want to do, he said, I find I don't do them. And he says, he even said, what I hate, I actually do those things. He knew there was a struggle. So there was a sense in which he knew this being distressed, difficulty, this challenge. So that was the situation to which Moses returned, and it was a tough one. Pharaoh had brought trouble upon the people. Oh my. And was that trouble going to get any easier when Moses went back to ask, let my people go, and Aaron repeated the question? No, it just got more and more difficult. But God provided a deliverer. The deliverer was provided. So now go, Moses was told. God spoke to him. I am sending you. Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Well, that's great. I don't often know what to say, but God teaches us what to say. And Moses still said, please send someone else. Lord, please send someone else. But when the people actually heard that God was concerned about them, the Lord was concerned and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. That's at the end of chapter 4. And it says they believed. They were glad that the Lord was concerned about them. So there was a sense in which, ooh, there's some hope. We can see a glimmer of hope over the horizon. Moses has come to us. We're really suffering. The trouble's getting worse. But we have some hope because there is a deliverer. And they didn't know much of what was going to lie ahead, because not only did they have to make bricks without straw after Moses had gone to Pharaoh, but a lot worse was coming, because they were going to have beatings, there were going to be plagues, there was going to be the experience of the Passover, they were going to have to go through the Red Sea, the Egyptians were going to chase them, they were going to go through a wilderness experience. And then even when they got into the land which God had promised that they were going to be taken into, there were battles and there was, well, it was difficulty. So the deliverer was provided, all right, but it was a good job they didn't know what lay ahead. And when God calls us, and when he wants us to serve him, it's a good job we don't know what lies ahead, isn't it? But he knows, and he knew exactly how he was going to speak to Moses. So this situation was developing. Now go, and you will see what I will do. God spoke very clearly. Now you will see what I will do. There's a big contrast between the end of chapter 5 and this first verse of chapter 6 of Exodus. Let me just read you the end of chapter 5 and then you will see the import of it. The people were very distressed. Moses was promised as their deliverer, and then things get worse and worse. They're beaten, they have to make bricks without straw, and Moses goes back to the Lord, and in Exodus 5:22 it says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's brought trouble upon this people, and you've not rescued your people at all. Wow. Then I love it. My Bible turns over a page to Exodus 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Now you will see what I will do. And these verses unpack God's declared purpose, what he will do. And he says to the people through Moses, you may be in this trouble. It may look impossible. The situation may look very negative to you. But I will bring you out. I will free you. This is what God says to Moses. It's there. You can read it for yourself in chapter 6, verse 6. I will free you from being slaves. I will redeem you. I will free you. The Lord promises this deliverance. Isn't it great how God keeps his word? The Bible is written for us to tell us what God is like, what is on his heart, what his purpose is, and what he will do. But there are people, you know, in the world today who are very much like Pharaoh. And I hope you picked it up on the video. When Pharaoh was asked by Moses and by Aaron, let my people go, the Lord has told us we should go and worship him. And what did Pharaoh say? He said, well, who is the Lord that I should obey him? I don't know the Lord. I think that's fairly common today, actually. You stop and think, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Many people don't know him. I don't know the Lord. Many would say, I don't want to know him. And you hear his name used in vain in all sorts of ways. I think Pharaoh represents many people today who are just not willing to listen to the Lord, respond to him, accept that he has sent his son Jesus Christ as Lord through whom they could have life. They may even admire the teaching of the Lord Jesus, but they don't know him as the Lord. Pharaoh may also represent, I think, many of the philosophies and ideologies of this day and age in which we live. Pharaoh dominated his people, didn't he? He wanted control and he made it tough. Do you know there are whole societies that are under that kind of domination? Political, religious. There are some systems which just dominate people and have them under their thumb. Lines of thinking, in fact, even secular imposition with atheistic ideas are prevalent. I came across a quote from Peter Hitchens, who writes in the Mail on Sunday. He has a column there. Interesting. He said, a new state atheism and the morality that goes with it is being imposed on us through the Equality Act. That's here in the United Kingdom. Interesting that he should write that. There are all sorts of ways in which the modern pharaohs have influence and domination. But let us look and see what God will do. Because that's part of his declared purpose. God went further than saying, I will bring you out, I will free you. He said, I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. The Lord longs to produce relationship with himself, not just to set free, but to bring people into relationship with him. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring people into a family relationship. Jesus knew God as his Father. And he said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And when Jesus spoke with people, they were amazed at him, were they not? At what he said and who he was. And they wanted to be with him because he produced relationship with the Father. I think it's wonderful, you know, that when Andrew Little John was here 2 weeks ago, he explained that God called and chose Abraham right back in Genesis 12 and said, through you, all peoples on earth are going to be blessed. And Rita and I were reading the book of Malachi. That's the last book in the Old Testament, just the other day. And there in Malachi, it ends the Old Testament by God saying, these people, they will be mine in the day that I make up my treasured possession. So right from the time God chose Abraham, right to when you get to the close of the Old Testament and opening up the gate for the Lord Jesus to come, you have this way in which God wants to produce relationship with himself. What a great purpose. I will take you as my own people, he said, and I will be your God. Wow, that's all part of God's plan of deliverance. But then he even goes further in his declared purpose. In chapter 6, verse 8 of Exodus, he says, I will bring you into the land and I will give it to you as a possession. Something he promised to Abraham right back at the beginning. Not only would the nation be important and bless the nations of the earth, but they would have a land and they'd have God's wonderful provision. The Lord provides for the life of his people. So not only would they have the food, the shelter, they'd have the means of worshipping the Lord. The Lord provided a temple. He provided leaders. He provided those who teach and order their living. It was a total provision of everything they needed, including their food and their clothing. No wonder when we come into God's family and know his provision today, we can say with the Apostle Peter, who he writes in his second letter, he said, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him, Jesus, who called us by his own glory and goodness. So it's great how God promised a deliverer through Moses, but he also goes much further and he has great declarations for us, including this great purpose. So this records for us how God acted at the time of Moses and the difficulties that the people were facing. We're going to unpack some of the rest of the story in the next two or three Sundays. But primarily, I want you to take away this morning that this is actually God's story. I don't know when you read the Bible, how you view it. Is it just the story of Moses? I would like to suggest to you, no, it isn't. It's God's story. Because it says, this is what I will do. God speaking. It's God's story. It's God's program. It's God's purpose. It's God's kingdom. And God's Son, the Lord Jesus, is the ultimate deliverer. Because he came on a rescue mission. Because we needed to be rescued. Because we couldn't do it ourselves. And the Apostle Paul said he couldn't do it. Wretched man, he said, that I am. Who will help me? Who will deliver me? Paul questioned. And he said, thanks be to God. He has sent his Son as the deliverer. And no wonder when Jesus came, he himself said these great words. That if I, the Son, set you free, you will be free indeed. A deliverer, freedom, a rescuer, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to see the gospel of Jesus in the Old Testament. There it is in the book of Exodus. It's wonderful that we can praise the Lord, our rescuer. As a song, we're not going to sing it, but I'll have it sung to you. You may know this song, Jesus the Rescuer. I don't know what the volume is going to be like, but just join in thanking God in your heart that Jesus is the rescuer. For the captain. Worth coming for that, wasn't it? Yes. We will praise the Lord our rescuer. It's not in mission praise, otherwise that's how we sing it. But isn't that great? He is our rescuer. He's the deliverer. Let's just pray and give him thanks, and then we'll come to the Lord's table. How we thank you, Lord, that you saw the distress of your people many years ago, and you see the distress of people on this earth today. And you want to deliver, and you have sent a rescuer, and he is your only son, the Lord Jesus, who gave his life. And we thank you that we can come and gather around your table and remember at the cost of his life that we have been rescued, delivered, and set free. And we praise you that we can celebrate together because of the Lord Jesus Christ being right here with us now in his name. Amen. Amen. I think we'll miss out number 40 if we may, and we'll go straight into the Lord's table. I think it's in the book of Romans. Let me just find it if I can.